Okay, wait a second. Yeah, I don't think anyone's mad for a green day.
Now they play chess.
Okay, I'll go in order of the Makoros sheet, not necessarily in order of the Gemara, just because that will be more convenient in terms of the preparation. So back on the previous Makoros sheet, while we're talking about Yom Zomin, I wanted to comment on the Rashi on the, near the top of Daf Hayyamin Aleph. What is it in the top of Daf Hayyamin Aleph? That Yom Zomin the Mamon who listening. Why doesn't Rav Oshia count Yom Zomin which is Mamon? And we discussed how there could be a sheet that Yom Zomin is Mamon and not Knas. And then we say, no, we don't hold like that Shita. We talk don't pass like that Shita. We pass like Rav Akiva, Sava like Rav Akiva, he held like Rav Akiva. We pass like Rav Akiva. The Amar Ein Meshalman Al Pi Atzman, who says Yom Zomin don't pay based on their own Hodaa because it's a Knas, the motive of Knas is possible. Okay, the way he expresses Yom Zomin being a Knas is Ein Meshalman Al Pi Atzman. So that's the litmus test of Knas. That Hodaa is Pater, that you need Eidim to mechayev you. So here, the Rishonim struggle with what is the case of Eidim's, like, if you want to say Eidim's Omen's a Knas, then fine, say it. But what's the actual case where they're not Meshalim based on their own Hodaa? That's a little tricky. What's the case of mode of a Knas Pater when it comes to Eidim's Omen? Right, what's the problem? The problem is the normal case of mode of a Knas Pater is, let's take K-phone, Dal Vahey or something, I stole, and then I admit that I stole, so I'm Potter from K-phone, Dal Vahey. Right? Fairly straightforward. The problem with Eid Zomin is, you're only an Eid Zomin if you were Huzam, right? You're only an Eid Zomin if you're Huzam, if two other Eidim came and said, Imanu Yisim Makam Plomi. So, what's the case of Modeh? If I'm Modeh that I was an Eid Zomin, like just Stam, I show up and say I'm an Eid Zomim, then what does that mean? I'm not an Eid Zomim, I'm lying. I'm not an Eid Zomim until Eidim come against me. And if Eidim come against me and are mazing me and say, ah, you were someplace else at the time, then it's too late to be Modeh and Potter. You can't be Modeh after the Eidim come. After Eidim come and say you stole, it's too late for me to say, ah, yeah, I admit I stole and Potter. No, you have to admit it before the Eidim come. So that's what the Rishonim here struggle with. Says Rashi, what's the case? The Amar Mesechus Makos, the second Rashi in Daf Hey. What's the case? And they were Huzam in one Bezdin. And the litigant, meaning the person they testified against, did not have time to sue them and say, now pay me. They go to someplace else. And they mow there someplace else in a different Bezdin. They say, we're already Huzam by two Eidim in the Bezdin in New York. They go to Los Angeles and say, we're Huzam in the Bezdin in New York. So that's a real Hodah of being Huzam. They were really Huzam in New York. But since they're Moda in Los Angeles, they are Potter. So that's what Rashi says. And Rashi is really a Mefurish Gemara in Makos. It's very nice that the Tosfos Rid doesn't think so. But he must have not had Argiris in Makos, because Rashi is a Mefurish Gemara in Makos. I'll read you the Gemara in Makos, and you'll see that Rashi is Mefurash, says Rashi. Sorry, says the Gemara in Makos, Daf Gimel. Says, what's the case? Look at this case. Be'omer he'adnu v'huzamnu be'bezdin plumi. Where the witness admit, we testified, and we were huzam by other Eidim, in a different bezdin. Like, they're in a different place, they admit they're huzam in a different place. That's Rashi's case. And what did the Gemara say about this case? That would only pay according to non-Rabbi Akiva, according to the Chachamim. But according to Rabbi Akiva, that would be Modeh b'Knas Potter, and he wouldn't have to pay. So it's Mefurish, Gemara and Matthew, Daf Gimel, and Aleph, that not necessarily the only case, but at least one case of Rabbi Akiva, right? What's the case of Eidim Zomimin, Ein Meshalmin, Al Pi Atzman? So, says Rashi, and this is also a Gemara Mefureshes in Makos Daf Gimel and Aleph. It's funny, the Tosfos Rid here goes great pains to explain how you can't really prove this based on the Gemara Makos, but he doesn't quote the line from the Gemara Makos that I just read to you. So it could be he had a different Gersa Makos, and it didn't say that in his Gemara. But at least in our Gemara Makos, it says before, it's like, the line I just read you, he skips. So it could be he had a different Gersa. I don't know. But, says Rashi Bar Mefureshes, the case is that Be'omer He'adnu Be'huzamnu Be'bezdin Acher. Okay. Says the Rid. The Rid has a problem with this. The Rid says, who cares that they go to another Beis Din? They're still being Moda after Edom already came against them. You can't be Potter if you're Moda after Edom came against you already. Right? Who cares that you go to someplace else? The rule is, if you're Moda first, you're Potter. If Edom come first, then you are Chayiv. So the Rid doesn't like that.
Right? Says the Rid. The Rid is Cholek. Ki Mikol Makom Hodu Rak Acharei Ha'adas Edom.
They already tested. They already were convicted by Edom. What's the drush of Moda Knas Potter? Asher Yarshiyu Nalu. Hey, and the law mercy is asked though. If you're caught by Beis Din, not if you admit your own guilt, or if he matzi be Edim, timatzi be Edim. If you're found through Edim, you're chayav knas. If you're not found through Edim, you're found through yourself, you're potter from a knas. But obviously, you're only potter if you admit first. If Edim come and then you admit second, then you're chayav. So says the Rid.
What's the case? That's an easy case. What's the case according to the Rid? The case is the Omer Eda Sheker Heanti the Achar Kach Bo Edim Vizimum.
First you admit I lied, or we lied in Beis Din. First they admit, yeah, we lied. This Edus we said was really false. We really made it up. And then Edom come and say, Imanu Ayisim Makom Ploni, and make us Edom Zomin. Then Taka, we have up to, this is Machlokes Rishonim, but this is true. Tosos and Rashi argue in Makom that this is true, but it's a good svara. Once I admitted, before anyone came to convict me, I admitted out of the goodness of my heart, and then Edom came to convict me. So I should have a tour because I was Mo Debeknas.
But once they said their Eidos, they can't come back and say it.
Aha. So that's the Chiddush. Even though you're not allowed to retract Eidos, this is Taka Machlokis, even though you're not allowed to retract Eidos, that just means I can't retract my Eidos. But it still counts as being Moda, as me being contrite and being a good guy. Even though I couldn't retract my Eidos, it still counts as Oda. Now, it's a little bit having my cake and eat it too. Right. After all, my Eidos still stands. What kind of Oda is that? And that's why Tosa says it's not a Oda, but it's a small Chiddush. Right?
The Chiddush is, even though they can't retract their Eidos, it still counts as Hodah.
Okay, but we can handle that.
Because there's another problem. They're not Eidos Zomim yet.
Ah, so you could be maybe the answer. Oh, so the answer is you could be Mo there before your Eidos Zomim.
That's not called Eidos Zomim.
Even though when you were Moda, you could say like this, when you were Moda, you hadn't yet been made into an Eidzome, but you still did the thing that you were going to make you into an Eidzome for, so maybe that's already time to be Moda. All right, after. The Rambam, by the way, has a third opinion. The Rambam says, in addition to one, he also says like Rashi, but he also says something else. The Rambam says that what's the case? Stam, the Omer, Eidu Sheker Headnu. The Omer Eidu Sheker Headnu. Okay, this is going to be a little. Hey, Stam, I admit we lied. Then I'm Potter from Eidu Zomin because I'm Moda Beknas Potter. This is a little radical, the Rambam. The Lecha Mishnah says it doesn't actually make sense because you're not even Eidu Zomin in the first place. You can't retract your Eidos in the first place. Like, you don't need a Moda Beknas Potter. You're not an Eidos only Bechlal. But the Meir takes the Rambam seriously. Lechori, this is a bigger Chiddush. The Chiddush is, if not for a Moda Beknas Potter, the Hodah would count as Eidos to create Hazama. Okay, we do have a rule that Hodas Baldin is. What's Hodas Baldin? Kameidim Dami. Hodas Baldin does count like Eidos. The question is how far to take it. The whole thesis about this. The Rambam seems to have a chiddush, if you read him in Kapshuto, certainly, that even if they just admit an Eidim never come, they're potter according to Rabbi Akiva. makes it sound like it's a little difficult. In the Gemara in Makos, thought, okay, the Mefarshim explain how he reads the Gemara in Makos, and the Chiddush is, since Hodah counts like Eidos, just being Moda that I'm an Eidzomim would have made me an Eidzomim, if not for the fact that Moda Mekas is Potter. Okay, could be. I'm going to focus on Rashi for a second.
And how does that mean Eidos? Does it make the other guy lose the man?
What? That is a great question, unless you would have to say something very Mechudish, that they would not be able to retract their Eidos, Klape, the Nidon, only to be Mazen themselves, and it would be a weird case. Okay.
You'd be allowed to kill them?
What?
The guy says that the roommate's Chayav Mison and they're attracted.
No, because it could be according to all Tanoim that we don't kill someone based on Hodah. The Machlok is where Rekiva the Chacham is only in Mamanos and Mamanakas, but everyone agrees you can't kill someone based on his own Hodah. Right? Okay, now, let's just see how to defend Rashi against the Rid. How do we defend Rashi against the Rid? And Rashi's got to be right, because at least in our Gersa, the Gemara in Makos, it says explicitly like Rashi. The Rambam agrees to Rashi, he just gives a second case. You always like a second case. Right? But Rashi seems to be right. It's a Mefurish Gemara. If I was already Muzam, then I go to a different town and I admit it, I am Putter. Why am I Putter? How can I be Putter for admitting it after Edom already came against me? That's ridiculous. They can be Putter for admitting after Edom came against you already. So how do you explain, right, how do you answer the Rid's question on Rashi? Okay, who wants to answer?
They didn't give Psak Din
for
5 money yet. All they did was
set up their 5 30 Hold on. Before Psak Din, Hodah helps, I'm in court. Adam come and say, you stole. But they didn't give Psak Din yet. I could still be Potter for being Modeh. Yes, I stole, I'm Potter. That's ridiculous. And the Rid brings proofs. But I think we all agree it's ridiculous. Once they even testify against me, even before the Gemar Din, how can I be how can I be Modeh and Potter? That's ridiculous.
And then there's a chiyuv to pay afterwards. They're two separate parts of this thing. You can have the hazoma, but then you still have to have a make a chiyuv for them to pay. Just because they're hazoma, they don't automatically pay.
Aha. Okay. I think what Morty is saying is what the Tosfos and Peretz is saying. Says the Tosfos and Peretz, hazoma is different from all other edim who come against me. Let's say geneva. Edim come and say I stole. The court case is whether I'm chayuv for geneva or not. They come to testify against me. Now I'm dead. Even before the Gemara did, it's too late to be potter. Or any other kind of knas. You know, motzi shema. The edim come against me, but I was motzi shema. The tick, the file is called asaf bednarsh motzi shema. Once they testify against me, it's too late for me to potter myself. That's ridiculous. I can say, oh, now I'm really sorry, I admit it. However, edim zomen is funny. Now, this is going against the very famous Ramban. But edim zomen, what's the tick? What's the file called? Let's just remember, right? Let's make up names, right? No, Reuven and Shimon said that Yaakov is Chayav. And then Levi and Yehuda came and Mazim Reuven and Shimon. Okay, now again, if you know a certain Ramban, forget it. But when Levi and Yehuda testify, what's the file of the case in which they're testifying? Whose trial are they testifying about when Levi and Yehuda show up? So you could say, now you could see this different ways, but says the Tosfos Beinu Peretz, and here I admit the Tosfos Beinu Peretz here doesn't say it quite in as clear words as I would like, which is why I said also check the Tosfos Beinu Peretz in Makos, who says it much more clearly. He says very pashut. In this case, at this point, if you stop here, Levi and Yehuda testified about Yaakov, not about Reuven v'Shimon. Now, what do I mean by about? About, I don't mean the content of the history of the story of their testimony. Obviously, the story of their testimony, they didn't testify anything about Yaakov. They just testified that Reuven and Shimon were elsewhere at the time. What I mean is, they testified in the court case of Yaakov, not in the court case of Reuven and Shimon. So let's see a little better. Their Levi and Yehuda, their Eidos is on Yaakov's trial. Not on Reuven and Shimon, because Reuven and Shimon aren't on trial. Yaakov's on trial. Again, there's one way of looking at it. I know there are methods a different way. Then what happens is that Yaakov is Toveya Reuven and Shimon. Rashi thinks Beis Din doesn't automatically punish Reuven and Shimon. Look at the Lashon of Rashi. Rashi says, Lo hispik bal din lamida b'din l'tovan. Yaakov has to sue Reuven and Shimon for Edom's opening. Right? Beis Din doesn't automatically punish Reuven and Shimon. Yaakov has to sue them. Yaakov then Toveya Reuven and Shimon. At that moment, the Eidos of Levi and Yehuda becomes Shayach to Reuven Vishimon's trial. Meaning, until Yaakov sues Reuven and Shimon, they have no testimony against them. I know, now here it's a very lundish social in the parents. I know from a practical perspective, all the testimony was said against Reuven and Shimon. But from a lundish perspective, no one testified against Reuven and Shimon. They testified about Reuven and Shimon in favor of Yaakov. But they couldn't have testified against Reuven and Shimon because Reuven and Shimon were not trial yet. Once Yaakov sues Reuven and Shimon, now Reuven and Shimon are on trial, and now automatically there's aegis against Reuven and Shimon. So give me a second. So if right here, if Reuven and Shimon are modeh, then they were modeh before there was aegis against them. Now, if you ask me how this makes sense, sort of psychologically, morally, I'm not sure. It's a very lundish shot, right? Meaning, I still don't think Reuven and Shimon are big, are Bali Tshuva like David Melech. But technically, says Tosfos in Peretz, as long as Yaakov hasn't sued Reuven and Shimon yet, there is no aegis against Reuven and Shimon. There's aegis about Reuven and Shimon, but not aegis against Reuven and Shimon. Because since they weren't on trial, there can't be a chalos aegis against them. Since there's no aegis against them, it's not too late to be modeh. That is how the Tosfos in Peretz explains Rashi.
That's the whole chiddush of Edom Zomrim. Levi, you didn't know nothing about whether Yaakov was chayav.
So you're right. This only works if you're going to go against the Ramban. The Ramban says the whole chap of Edom Zomrim is that as soon as Levi and Yehuda come, they're not talking about Yaakov anymore.
They don't know.
Because they don't know about Yaakov. Right. What Aaron says is what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, he says the opposite of this word. He says, what are you talking about? And he says, the whole reason we believe Levi and Yehuda against Reuven and Shimon, if they're all talking about Yaakov, it should be Trey, it should be a stalemate. Is because once Levi and Yehuda come, and they say, Imanu Yisumak Amploni, the trial is no longer about Yaakov. Now it's a trial of Reuven and Shimon, which as a side effect will affect Yaakov. Okay, you're right. So if you like that Ramban, then you don't like the Tosfos in Peretz. But Tosfos in Peretz chose to say, well, give me a second, chose to say, see it differently. So, says the Aleph, Tosfos in Peretz, says Tosfos in Peretz, really, they were modeh before there was a chalos of eidos against them. Even though there was eidos about them. There was eidos about them, but it wasn't eidos against them because they weren't on trial yet. And if it's not chalos eidos against them, then they have no chalos eidos, even though we all know there's eidos. That's not halachically recognized. And therefore, they could still be modeh.
Why not understand, even without the Ramban, it doesn't work? Because what would happen if this was between the Nefoshos? And then you would be, without the Tviyah, you would kill the living Shimon.
Yeah, the
Tviyah is only incidental.
No. You wouldn't need a Tviyah because in Dine and Fashos. No, because in Dine and Fashos, Beis Din is Tovei on their own because of the Yarta or Rabbi Kerbacha, but you'd still need to open a new file. Yeah. Beis Din would still need to open a new file. They wouldn't need a Tviyah, they would still need to open a new file. Now, says the Tosfos in Peretz, according to this pshat, he thinks even in the same Beis Din they can be Modeh and Potter. Right, goes further than Rashi, right? Says the Tosfos in Peretz then he's really a new pshat. Right? Add the Tosfos in Peretz. Really, this goes further than Rashi. Can you get this to fit into Rashi with difficulty? Because even in that Beis Din, if he's Modeh, he's Potter. Right? Now, he doesn't even need to go to another Beis Din. Even in that Beis Din, if he's Modeh, he's Potter. Unless you want to make something more fancy and say no. In that Beis Din, his Hodah
is insignificant because he's telling us something we already know, and that's not called Chefetz of Hodah. So he needs to go to another Beis Din to have a Chefetz of Hodah and tell us something we don't know. But nonetheless, theoretically, if he had a Chefetz of Hodah, anywhere he did it, it would potter him. So there's no Chefetz of Eidos against him.
I was saying, the first part is, but you committed that Ganashi, not just this part. Is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now.
If he went back to the first Beis Din, could they bring the Chayim then?
Ah, so hold that thought. According to those inheritors, for sure not. The Ketzos and Asivas have different ideas about this, which are more, stay more strictly the Lashon of Rashi. What does the Ketzos say? What's the Machlokas Ketzos and Asivas? The Machlokas Ketzos and Asivas, according to Rashi, what if then he went back to the first Beis Din? Could they be Mechayiv or not? No, that's not a Machlokas Ketzos and Asivas. They both agree he could. Only Ketzos and Asivas says he can't. So, what is the Machlokas, what does the Ketzos say? Anyone? The Ketzos says that in this case, they're still chayav in the first Beis Din because Eidim came first. They're still chayav in the first Beis Din because Eidim came first. But they're potter in the second Beis Din because the Hodah came first in the second Beis Din. What's the Chiddush of the Ketzos? The Chiddush of the Ketzos is that the rule of Moed B'Knas Potter, whether Eidim came first in your Chayev or Hodah came first in your Potter, is different for each Beis Din. You're never totally Potter or totally Chayev. Each Beis Din has its own Cheshbon. You could be Chayev Knas in Los Angeles and Potter in New York. You could be Chayev in Tel Aviv and Potter in Petah Tikva. Each Beis Din has their own cheshbon. That's the chiddush. And therefore, says the Ketzos, this works bein l'kula bein l'chumrah. Even if I go and I mode first in Tel Aviv, if you then sue me in Yerushalayim, and you bring Edim, and I'm not mode, I'm chayiv in Yerushalayim. If you first bring Edim against me in Tel Aviv, if I then go and I'm mode first in Tel Aviv, I'm potter in Tel Aviv. And therefore, what's his status? His status is chayiv in first Beis Din and potter in the second Beis Din. The chiddush is that the p'tur of mode b'knas is chal on the Beis Din, not the gavra. That's the big chiddush of the Ketzos. Mode b'knas, then the gavra. A gavra is never totally potter because of mode b'knas, and never totally chayiv because of edim b'knas. Each Beis Din has its own cheshbon, so I could be a mode b'knas in Yerushalayim, and I could be chayiv b'knas, I'll be edim in Tel Aviv. Each Beis Din has their own cheshbon.
To ask a silly question, but then obviously isn't the simple understanding of Asher Yashinah Elokim an idea of paying, right? I mean, then they're just going to chase each other around until this guy realizes, you know, I'll just flee the country and then no one can ever get to me. I mean, then it's not about paying anymore, you know, it's just about which Beis Din. I mean, then the guy, the Tevea, will just go to some Beis Din, which the...
But keep in mind, you can't be Tevea someone Shiloh Befanov. Right?
You can't
meaning, let's say I want to sue you for Knas in Yerushalayim, and you admit. I could then take you to Tel Aviv and try to sue you for Knas again. The problem is, if you admit in Tel Aviv also, it won't help.
And so they'll just chase each other around. Like,
okay. But if the guy keeps admitting, then he'll keep getting off. But you're right, you can never totally be putter from Knas. Right? Each Beis Din is its own cheshbon.
Isn't the whole story of Mode B'Knas that, like, the Beis Din needs to
So now the answer is, let's be fair, based on the line at the end of the Gemara Mishnah Pilumina, once Beis Din makes a Gemar Din on the Knas, then that applies everywhere. Then they've turned the Knas into Mon. A Gemar Din turns it into a Mon. But if they just hear Eidos and they haven't done the Gemar Din yet, then they haven't totally created it yet because they haven't done the Gemar Din. And if they haven't done the Gemar Din, then it doesn't apply everywhere. And that's the big Chiddush of the Ketzos, meaning just because you're Potter the first time you're on trial doesn't mean you're Potter forever. Just because you're Chayev doesn't mean you're Chayev forever. Every Beis Din has its own Cheshbon.
If two Eidim came after I was Modin in the second Beis Din, there would still be a Machlokas Amoraim if I'm Chayev because I've Potter myself. Remember?
No, but we're assuming the way we Paskin that you're Potter, normally. We have to assume that we pass it.
Right.
Otherwise, it gets much too complicated. Okay, that's the Ketzos. In which case, let's just ask, you know, Nachmina, what if he goes back to the first Bezdin? According to those of the parents, he's Potter. What do you mean? He was molded before Edom. According to the Ktos, he's Chayev. He was always Chayev in the first Bezdin. He just wasn't Chayev in the second Bezdin. What if, on the other hand, Edom come to the second Bezdin? Then, according to the Tosfos, he's Potter. What do you mean? He was molded before Edom came. Who cares if Edom come later? And according to the Ktos, he's also Potter in the second Bezdin. Because in the second Bezdin, he was molded before Edom came.
Second.
This is all as opposed to the Nesivos. Yeah. Now, it's an interesting svar for the Ktos. Like, why should it be a din in the Bezdin and not in the guy? Like, why is Moda B'knas Potter? It's an interesting question. Like, why does he get off once he's Moda? So you might think, oh, because like, it's a reward for good behavior. Like, oh, he did Shuvah and he was Moda, so, you know, so we don't need to punish him. But it's funny, like, each Bezdin is their own cheshbon, whether he did Shuvah or not. It may be because according to the Ktos, the reason why Moda B'knas is Potter, Yesh L'ayin, or is might be because once you're Moda B'knas, any Edom who come afterwards are not considered a valid Edus. Why? Because Hodas Baldi Kamei Edom Tami. Once you're already Moda, the Edom have nothing to add. They're telling us things we already know.
But you're saying the Ktos.
Give me a second. Maybe, what's the svar for the Ktos? I can think of two svars. Either number one, the reason Moda is Potter is a bonus for Tshuva. And then each Bezdin has their own cheshbon whether to give you a bonus for Tshuva. If one Bezdin sees you behave nicely, they give you a bonus in their Bezdin. If another Bezdin sees you didn't behave nicely, they don't give you a bonus in their Bezdin. I don't love that. The other option is that the reason Moda B'knas is Potter is because you're only chayv with Edom. And if you're Moda before the Edom come, then they don't count as Edom. Why? Because they're telling something we already know that's not a halos Edus. So therefore, in one Bezdin, Edom came first, you're chayv. Because they heard Edus. In another Bezdin, if you're Moda first, then even if Edom comes to that other Bezdin, that's not a valid Edus. They're telling us something we already know. And therefore, Edom can never come in that Bezdin, and you consider valid Edus in your Potter. That's the Ktos. The Nesiva says a different shot. The Nesiva says, there's Tzvei Dinim, I know he doesn't say it in these words, there's Tzvei Dinim Moda B'knas Potter. There's Tzvei Dinim Moda B'knas Potter. What are the Tzvei Dinim? One, if you're Moda before Edom come, you're Potter forever. That's a bonus for Tshuva. Two, we can't convict you based on your own words. One is a ptur, and the other is just a lack of evidence. Says the Nesiva is very poshut. There are Beis Dinim. Din Aleph, is a ptur. If you're Moda before Edom, you get a ptur because you did tshuva. Din Bet is a choser raya. Your hodah is not a valid proof in Hilchos Knossos. Hilchos Knossos needs Edom, not hodah. Your hodah is ignored, right? Hodah is not a valid proof for knas. There's a ptur, and then there's a choser raya. I made up these words, right? I'm saying the Nesiva's over my words. But if you read the Nesiva, it's obvious that's what he's saying. There's Tzvei Dinim. There's a ptur and there's a choser raya. Now, says the Nesiva, what happens in Rashi's case? You don't get a ptur because Edom came before you were Moda. When you run away to the second Bezdin and you admit you're an Edzomim, you don't get a ptur anymore. It's too late to get a ptur. The Edom were already there. But there's still no raya that you're chayev because your admission is not a valid proof in case of knasos. So what does the second Bezdin say? You're not potter from the knas, but you're also not chayiv in a knas because we have no evidence as to what happened. And therefore, says the Nesivos, do I have any room here? Says the Nesivos, and therefore, there's no ptur because Edom came first. Because Edom came first. There's no ptur forever. But, you're still not chayav in the second Bezdin. Why are you not chayav in the second Bezdin? Because there's no evidence that you're guilty.
Right? What if I come to Los Angeles and say, you know what, I'm chayv skila in New York. So I don't get off. Right? I have no patur from skila. But they're not going to stone me because they'll say we don't have proof. We only have your admission. We're waiting for real proof. What's enough being in the mesivos? If I go back to the first bezin according to the mesivos, I am chayev. And even if Edom come to the second bezin, I'm chayev. If Edom come to the second bezin, I'm chayev, says the mesivos. Because I have no patur. Why should I get a bonus? Why should I get a patur? After all, Edom came before I admitted. I don't deserve a patur. The only reason they don't punish me in the second bezin is because I have no patur, but there's also no evidence that I'm guilty. Because admission, hodah, doesn't count as evidence in Hilchos Knossos. But the difference between the Nesivos and the Ketzos is, if then the second bezin says, this guy admitted he was Ein Zomim in New York, let's call up New York and ask them if he was Ein Zomim in New York, and two Edim from New York testified that it was really Ein Zomim in New York, then the bezin of Los Angeles would punish him. They'd say, you don't deserve a tour. You weren't in Mal Tshuva. You admitted after you already testified against. Now that we have evidence against you, we will punish you. So there are three different drachim to take within Rashi or within the Gemara and Makos as to why your potter after Edom came, and there are enough nuances between them. Number one is the Derech Tosfos and Peretz, because it looks like it's after Edom came, but it's really before Edom came. In which case, you have to gomer, bein bebezin rishon, bein bebezin shein. Second approach, the Ketzos. You only potter if you're modeh before Edom. And here you're Moda after Edom. But every Bezdin has its own Cheshman. So in Bezdin 1, and it's a funny Chiddush of the Ketzos, you can be Chayiv in one Bezdin and Pater in another Bezdin. It's not a Din in the Gamma. You're a Pater in the first Bezdin, you're Chayiv in the first Bezdin, but Pater in the second Bezdin. Chayiv forever in the first Bezdin, and Pater forever in the second Bezdin. Says in Asimus, no, you're Chayiv forever. You have no Ptur at all. You lost your chance to have a Ptur. They testified against you before you admitted. You are Chayiv forever. The only thing is, the second Bezdin can't implement that Chayiv on you, because they don't believe you when you say you're an Ein Zomim. Because we don't believe a Hodah in Malkus or Misa or Knas. We only believe a Hodah in Mammon. And therefore, they have no evidence either way. But you're still Chayiv in the first Bezin. You're even Chayiv in the second Bezin if they find evidence. If they find two Edom, then they'll be Chayiv you even in the second Bezin. What?
Even after?
Yeah. Because you don't have a Ptur of Modu Knas in the second Bezin. You just have the second Bezin. There's no evidence either way. So if there's no evidence either way in Edom come, isn't the guy Chayiv?
If we had a dispute of what they did being online, so the Nesivos would fall off.
Correct, the Nesivos would fall off. If the Bezdins could call each other on the phone, the Nesivos falls off. Then there's no such case anymore. Nowadays, with modern communication, there's no such case anymore. Unless maybe a Bezdin in China where they can't call us. I don't know if they're allowed to call from China.
Isn't exactly
that? No, we thought Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel was isn't Din Aleph or is it Din Bet? The Chiddush in the Siva says no. The Machlokas is it Bet or is it both?
Is that the first they all agreed it's a Bet?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you'll have to tell me why.
I'm not.
Isn't this again one sign of Chak here we had year two goes about is Knas automatic or do you have to have a Knas in Bezit? If the Knas is automatic, none of this should even be this way.
No, even if Knas is automatic, you have to say that, you know, you can get a Ptur from it by being a good boy. That there's a good success, you can get a Ptur. Even if Knas is automatic, you can still say there's standards of evidence. So even if Knas is automatic, you could still say it's automatic, but there's a way to pot to yourself. It's automatic all tonight. Or it's automatic with an escape clause. So it doesn't bother me. Okay, so these are three ways of explaining, again, the Rambam's case is nice, but he has to also admit the first case in the Gemara. The Tosfos Rid's case is nice. They're all based on Chidushim, and the Tosfos Rid denies the case in the Gemara Makos. He must have not had our Girsa. The reason I say that is not just for convenience, but he quoted every line in Makos except for the one that says like Rashi. The Gemara in Makos says like Rashi, it's a good Kasha. How is he Potter for Hodai after Edom? So we have three answers. Either it's really before the Edom, it just looks like it's after the Edom, Tosfos Rid and Peretz, or it's after the Edom Bezdin 1, but before the Edom Bezdin 2, and each Bezdin has their own Cheshbon, or the Mesivas, he's not Potter. He just had no evidence to be Mechayiv him, because the second in that even when the Ptur doesn't apply, Hodah is still not admissible as evidence to be Mechayiv you. And we saw the Nafkaminas. Okay, now we're ready to go back in the Gemara, to Makor 15, to Makor Sheet 15, and go to the analysis of the difference between Rav Oshia and Rav Chiya. So, yes, please. So we're up to the Gemara on Dalet Amud Beis at the end of the seventh to last line. Rav Oshia, my time of Lotanihani. Why did Rav Oshia not teach Rav Chiya's?
The answer is, because Rabbi Oshi is only counting things that are mamo, not things that are knas. And all of Rabbi Chiya's things, additional 13 things, at this point we think are knas. Right? Some of them certainly are knas, right? Kefo is knas, and Dalet Behei is knas, and Eidim Zomin, we already read ahead, is knas, and Onus and Patabos of Shemra is knas. Okay, so he didn't count knas. Well, Sultan's like, Gaza, Mithame, Manasseh, but that's what we'll do in the next lines of the Gemara. That's the principle. Rav Oshia only counted Mamon, and Rav Chiya even counted knas. Seems pretty straightforward, and the Gemara will deal with some exceptions. The only problem is, what does that imply? That all of Rav Oshia's 13 are Mamon. All of the 13 are Mamon. What are the 13 that are Mamon? What are Rav Oshia's 13 that are Mamon? Shor, Bor, Mave, Hever. That seems like Mamon. You're just paying for what was damaged. It's not an additional penalty. Right? Nezek, Tsa'ar, Ripoy, Sheves, Boshes. You're just paying for what you damaged. Shomer Chinam, Shoel, Shomer Sachar, which they call Nosei Sachar, and Socher. You're just paying for what was damaged. Okay, on a simple level, according to everyone, until the Rambam, or technically the Rimagash, this makes perfect sense. These are all Mamon. The problem is the famous sheet of the Rambam. If you notice, the Magen Mishnah points out, the Rambam is following his great Rebbe, the Rimagash, which is true. The Rimagash, Shavuos Mevavim Beis, says the Rambam sheet before the Rambam, but don't worry that you didn't see it inside. He doesn't have any explanation. He just says it. So it's clear that the Rambam got it from his Rebbe, the Rimagash, but we still, if your kasha is why did the Rambam say it's okay, maybe he got it from his Rebbe. But if your kasha is how does it make sense, we're still going to have to deal with this. Let's see what the Rambam's shita is, though. What is the Rambam's shita? The Rambam has a very infamous shita about Nezek, right? In Chovel Mazik Perakei and a few other places, says the Rambam. And the biggest kasha against the Rambam's shita is our Gemara. Biggest kasha against the Rambam's shita is our Gemara. Says the Rambam, Hoda Chovel Shu Chaval Mishalem. If there were Edom and he admits, then even if the Edom didn't see 100%, if he admits, there's someone in the Edom and he has to pay. But what about a normal case of admitting? There were no Edom. I just admit that I beat up Chesky. I admit that I beat up Chesky. Chesky's in the hospital, and I admit that I'm the one who did it. So, the Aval Lo Yisham Edom Klal, who Omer Chaval to be? And Chesky says, it was Rabbi Bednar, she beat me up. And behold me atzmo, and I admit, Potter min anezek min atzar v'chayev v'sheves u'v'boshes b'ripoy al pi atzmo. I'm chayev in, says the Rambam. All the other Rishonim say it's just all mamon, which is what our Gemara says. Shalom Hal Yisrael. Says the Rambam that the first four are mamon. The last four are Mamon, but what about these five? Ripoy is Mamon, Sheves is Mamon, Nezek is Knas, and Tsar is Knas. Therefore, when I admit, I have to pay Ripoy and Sheves, but I don't have to pay Nezek and Tsar. What about Boshes? So Boshes is a funny bird. The Rambam says, I do have to pay Boshes. Here it's a little funny. Like, what's the Svara? I'm starting to understand the Svara. Ripoy, that's mamash mamon. Right? I mean, and that's dollars and cents. You now, Chesky now has to pay the hospital bill, right? Hospital bills are very expensive nowadays if you don't have insurance. Right? He has to pay $300,000 hospital bill. So that's money out of his pocket, right? That's mamash money he lost. So that's mamon. I came back the money he lost. Sheves, Chesky had to miss 2 weeks of work when he would have earned $10,000. So that's mamish money out of his pocket. So I have to pay him back. Tsa'ar, you understand, I caused him pain, and that pain was worth money. And other people would say, that's mamon. I'm paying him back for the damage of the pain. But you understand, like, it's not money out of your pocket when you have tsa'ar, right? Like, I caused him a lot of pain. That pain and suffering was worth $100,000. But he didn't actually lose $100,000. He had pain and suffering worth $100,000. But it's not like he really lost money out of his pocket. So Rambam says, that's a knas. Because I'm paying him for money he didn't lose. I know he suffered equivalent to that money, but he didn't actually lose that money out of his pocket. And likewise, Rambam says nezek. In Nezek, he didn't actually lose money. Let us say that as a result of this damage, you're going to be okay? All right, let's say as a result of this damage, I broke his pinky. And I guess they can't make it better. Right? Now he's a broken pinky. So they say, broken pinky, that's worth $100,000. But he didn't actually, lose $100,000 now that he's a broken pinky. He didn't have $100,000 that now he's losing. He lost part of his body, which is worth $100,000. But that's not money out of his pocket. It's not like he could have sold his pinky for $100,000.
But it's about he's not able to do the job he was able to do.
Okay, so hold that thought for a moment. So you'll have to, Nezek is going to require some more work, right? The Tsar being a Knas, Svara, Nicha. It's Nicha that reap when Shevis are mumbled. Right, because that's mamish money out of pocket. It's Nicha that Tsar is Knas. I'm not saying it's Mochruch, right? I'm not saying it's Mochruch that Tsar is Knas. But we can handle Tsar being Knas. We can handle Tsar being Knas because he didn't really lose anything, right? If I had pain and suffering, I haven't really lost anything out of pocket. It's not really something that you could give me money for. It's just I understand you deserve to pay me how much that I suffered. But that's already more of a knas. You're not replacing my suffering. How about Nezek? Nezek is a bit of a tricky one. After all, Moshe points out that how do we evaluate Nezek? Not the way they evaluate. I don't know how they evaluate Nezek nowadays in the state of New York. But I know how they evaluate Nezek in the state of Halacha. Right? It's really how much you could have sold yourself to do work that you can't do without this pinky. So Moshe is saying Nezek really is money out of pocket. Because work you couldn't have done. Now, okay, you could say, maybe it's a little trickier, who says you would have done that work, right? It's not like Shevis, where I have the money coming in now, it's not a repoy, where I'm writing a check right now to the doctor. This is theoretically, I could have worked, who knows exactly what I would have done with my pinky, what I would, what if the guy, not Chesky anymore, what if the guy has a heart attack and dies tomorrow, right? So in the end, he wouldn't have gotten anything out of his pinky. What if in the end, he somehow, something changes, he gets a new career and doesn't need a pinky? So it's not quite as mochruch, but even more so, I would say, this is the Rambam L'shitase, in the beginning of Hilchos Chovel Mazik. I know I mentioned this once, but I mentioned outside, I want to see it inside. The famous Rambam in the beginning of Chovel Mazik, we know that one big concern the Rambam had in the Mishnah Torah, which you don't find in the Shulchan Aruch and other halachic works, is L'hotzi Miliban Shel Karayim. Right? The Rambam was very, very concerned that whenever we do something that's not what it says in the Torah, and in his days the Karaites were a big threat, the Karaites always said, these Rabbinite, by the way, is the word for Jews who aren't Karaites. It wasn't called Orthodox then. Orthodox is being not Reformed. Being not Karaite is called Rabbinite, because we follow the rabbis. And they only follow what it says in the Mikra. So they would always accuse us of making up our religion and not following the real word of Hashem. So the Rambam was very concerned about that. And in Mishnah Torah, whenever we do something that's not what it says in the Chumash, he always tries to give an explanation as to why it really is what it says in the Chumash and it makes sense. Okay, but obviously, since we're talking about the Rambam here. We're not talking about a PR guy. We're talking about the Rambam. So even though he's only explaining this to explain why the Tanaim are wrong, it's also things that he philosophically believes in. He wouldn't give an explanation that he didn't believe in. So what does the Rambam say here? Give me a second, Yaakov Moshe. He says, "Zeh shenamar v'tarka sheyitin mumba dom ken yinas in bo, ein olach bo b'zeh kon shechol v'chaveiro." It doesn't literally mean like the Karaites, I assume, thought it meant. I never spoke to the Karaites, but Menastam, they interpret the pasuk literally. Ayin tachazayim means if I poke at your eye, they poke at my eye. Seems fair. Right? Kasher yiten mumba adam ken yinas in bo. It's pretty mafurish in the Torah. Whatever I do to you, they do to me. Seems reasonable. Mida keneged mida. Says it doesn't mean that. Elishu, but rather what does it mean? So again, there's 8 deos in the beginning of Perek HaChovel as to how we know that it doesn't mean the Pshuta Shel Mikra. The Rambam picks one of them, and he says, no, I'm really telling you Pshuta Shel Mikra, not the Karaites. What does it mean? So he could have said, no, there's a Gzera Shava that says it means something else. Okay, but that's not where he goes. He says, it really does mean it. Elishu roi lachasro evro lachbo wokasher asa. That you do deserve. He says, the Torah is telling you, not practically what we do. Practically what we do is the Torah Shel Peh and the interpretation of the Chachamim. What does the Torah tell you in Pshuta Shel Mikra? Right? This is interesting. Our neighbor of Cooperman wrote a whole book of all the different nafkaminas of Pshuta Shel Mikra. And one of the popular pshatim is sometimes the Pshuta Shel Mikra doesn't tell us halacha l'maisa. That's from the Torah Shel Peh. The Pshuta Shel Mikra tells us the idea behind halacha l'maisa.
How you actually do it, so it gets more complicated. But the Pseudo-Zoomaker is telling us the basic idea. And then how you do it, okay, then you have to go to the Taj Mahal and work out the details. That's what Rambam says. The Pseudo-Zoomaker is true. That's the idea. That's just not what we do, bottom line, practically. You should lose your eye or lose your hand if that's what you did to your friend. And that's why you pay. You don't pay because, says the Rambam very clearly, I don't pay for Chezki's hand because I'm replacing his hand. No, I pay because I'm giving up my hand. I should lose my hand. However, there's a kula that I can pay instead. But it's really true, ayin tachas ayin. And mehechi teisim pshuto shel mikra, that there's a kula, he says in the first pasuk. Very omer, lo siklu kofer l'nefesh rotseach. Says you can't take a ransom payment, right, like the Muslims do, right, if I kill someone, I can pay money instead. No, the Torah says no. The Torah says, lo tiklu kofer l'nefesh rotseach, a murderer can't pay money instead of dying. But the diuk is clear, this is a pshat diuk. A rotseach can't pay kofer, but someone else can pay kofer. Who can pay kofer? Someone who did less than Ritzicha, someone who's only a Chovel, right? The Rambam says very pashut. Why does a Chovel pay Nezek? Not to replace the guy's hand. As a matter of fact, I think the Rambam would say, I can't replace the guy's hand with money. Even though most will tell me, well, we can evaluate, etc., etc. Yeah, but the Rambam would say, but you can't really replace the guy's hand with money. If I kill your cow, I can replace it with money. If I smash your car, I can replace it with money. But if I cause you to have big doctor's bills, I can replace it with money. If I cause you to lose work, I can replace it with money. That's mammon. But tsar I can't replace with money. That's just a penalty. And the Rambam's mefurish. If I cut your hand off or poke your eye out, I can't replace that with money. Really, I deserve to lose my own eye or my own hand. However, midin kofar, there's a kula that I can exchange and pay money instead. So the paying money is instead of an onesh haguf. That's clearly knas. Right? Why do I pay money if nezek? It's to redeem the onesh haguf that I deserve to be injured, that I deserve to be maimed. Okay, that's clearly knas and not mamon. You could have said it's mamon, but the Rambam, I think, Lushita say, Yaakov Moshe?
Then wouldn't you say that, first of all, you'd have to say that everything is then not really mamon, meaning even Shabbos and Ribui is Medina Digarmi or something like that?
No, okay, that doesn't bother me that the Torah says that certain, first of all, Garmi might be Doraisa anyway, but it doesn't bother me that the Torah says, some, after all, Shor Bar Mavin Hever also only Grumma. And yet, right, what do you mean it's also only Grumma? I just let my dog wander, I didn't do anything. Okay, certain Grummas, the Torah is Mechayev as Mom.
Isn't the Pashuk Shabbat that that's all you have to do is just give up your eye?
Yeah, all you have to do is give up your eye, and then the Torah's make on you with a kofar that you can pay money instead of losing your eye.
Right,
and it's not optional, it's required.
Right, but to say that the only part that's negative the eye is the nezek and not the rest of it is
no, but because we don't learn the rest of it from Ayin Tachas Ayin. We don't learn Shem's Rishon from Ayin Tachas Ayin, then why do we need Rakshav Toyitain Verapo Yerape? I disagree with you. It's a different parsha. Not even next to each other. Okay, how about Boshes? Boshes is a little tricky, says the Rambam, because according to the Rambam Svara, should Boshes be Knas or should Boshes be Mammon? And Boshes, are you paying him back for his out-of-pocket expenses? Or are you just like giving money because you cause suffering? Yeah, it should be Knas, because it's really very much like Tsar. But the Rambam says he says Boshes al Piatzmo. So that's because Boshes is a funny bird. Why? V'lam m'shalim adam shloshu dvar me'elo piatzmo. Shasheves v'aripoy mammon huvelo knas. Sheves v'aripoy are mammon. Shem lo yithin lor chasro mammon. Shem is rapo adolach. Because he's actually losing money out of pocket. V'aboshes is knas. But lo higia lo. Ela b'sha shahodim fanein shu chaval bo. Shanech bo shu chaval bo. V'nei adam ein lo boshes. V'odos of a base. Then who should be sho so. Says the Rambam, this is a funny thing. When it comes to boshes, says the Rambam, Mamon aval hamode shechaval b'chaveiro chayov boshes. Why? No, I meant knas. It's really knas, but a mode is chayov anyway. Why? So he says, because of an interesting one. There can't be boshes without onlookers. If there were no Edim, and I beat up Chezki and no one was looking, he wasn't embarrassed because no one was looking. When does he become embarrassed? When I admit I beat him up and I tell everyone I beat him up, he becomes embarrassed. Hold on, but I told everyone I beat him up and embarrassed him, there were Edim listening, or there was Bezdin listening. So really, Moda is Chayav, not because Moda is Chayav in Boshes, but because when I'm Moda in front of Edim, I'm Vayishim in front of Edim. Chayav in Boshes, Mishom
shebisho bifnei edim b'shas hodaso. That's a funny svar of the Rambam that boasts a knas, but yet you're moda, you're chayav. Why? Because let's say right now I said I smacked Yaakov Shvim in the face and threw him on the ground and kicked him. Now he's embarrassed in front of everyone that I said that. But there are Edom who saw him be embarrassed. So therefore, there's no hechitensi of Modem and Boshes. It's always in front of Edom.
The guy accused him of best of though. The guy who got beaten up said, you beat me up. And I say, yeah. Oh, and now he's embarrassed?
It's a good kasha. We're not going to answer that now. It's not a kasha on me. I haven't said anything yet. Okay. So, now, this Rambam, this sheet of the Rambam, I think is Lushitase in many things. How many Lishitaseis is this Rambam? One, Chovelu Mazik, Hey Vav, that Moda is Pater. Number two, I put in brackets just because the exact same thing. The Toim V'nitan Aleph Tezayin is the exact same thing. Toim V'nitan Aleph Tezayin is the exact same thing. He just says Moda is Pater. And in both cases, the Raiva disagrees. Chovelu Mazik, the Raiva disagrees and is not sure. He says, what do you mean? That's ridiculous. It's all mumum. Of course you're chayiv. Unless you're going to say, because we don't know how to evaluate it, then they should all be potter. And in Torah, Nathan says, avad, you're all chayiv. We'll figure out how to evaluate it. Also, chovelu mazik aleph gimel, that it's a kofer le nesinas mum mamish. Right? Kasheit and mum bagam kei nesam. I really should do it to you, and you're paying kofer. So that's clearly a knas and not a mumon. Another, this interesting Rambam, Lushitase, this is according to Rav Chaim, there's a famous kasha of a Ravid on the Rambam, and the Rambam in Toim V'nitan, Perikei Halacha Beit. Oh, sorry, two other Rambams. This Rambam, Lushitase, you're going to say, this Rambam would make sense either way, it's not such a strong Lushitase, fine. It works very nicely, although it's not necessary. The Rambam in Vav in Perikei Halacha Tes says, Eino doma mazik chaver begufo lemazik mamono. Shamazik mamon chaver came to shila mashu chayv l'shanu miskaperlo. Avol chavol b'chaver or afish enosmo. Chavish adavar mei miskaperlo. Vafilu kiv kol elin voyus in miskaperlo v'nim chol avono. Chivakish men enech v'yim cholo. You know that where we say that you're not forgiven even if you do tshuva and even if you pay until you ask for mechila? Where does it say that? In what masechet? In what perek? What?
The end of the end.
So it says it twice. Once in the eighth perek of Yoma. And once in the eighth parak of Baba Kama, in Parak Chovel. Okay, the relationship between those two is not our topic now. Okay, the Rav has a lot of lumpus on that. But what might we have thought? We might have thought, based on the Mishnah in Yoma, any Avera being Adam Lachavero, I'm not forgiven until I apologize. Right? So if I beat you up, I'm not forgiven until I appease you. It's not to apologize, you have to accept my apology. And if I smash your car, right, then I'm not forgiven until I appease you. Or if I steal from you, I'm not forgiven until I appease you. Says the Rambam, no. If I'm mazik your mamon, all I have to do is pay and I'm forgiven. I don't have to appease you. It's not a big deal. But if I injure you, then I have to appease you. Why is that? Now, this doesn't have to do with the shitase, if you just say it's common sense. But it works that nicely for the Rambam. If I'm mazik your mamon, then once I pay it back, I've undone what I did. I made up for what I did wrong. Why should I have to apologize? But I'm not chovelling you, even after I pay back, I haven't made up for what I did. I paid a knas. I haven't actually fixed what I did wrong. Because after all, how can you fix the fact that now this guy is blind in one eye? How can you fix that now this guy has a broken hand? How can you fix the tsar and boshes that he underwent? You can't fix that with money. These things transcend money. I pay money anyway. I pay money as a knas. I can't. The money cannot fix it. The only way to fix it, quote unquote, is to apologize and to appease you. So I think there also, it works out nicely. Lishitase, he says that mazik eino tsarich l'ratzos eschavero, but chovel tsarich l'ratzos eschavero. Again, if someone would say to me, nah, you don't need the Rambam's lumbus, you could just say this, that's a nice common sense. And it's not, but it does work nicely, Lishitase. Yes, Moshe.
In Hilchos Teshuva, he says, goes low.
Ah, so that's what's interesting. The Rav actually thought that maybe he said gozlo and not gonvo, because gneva is I take something, someone's property from their house while they're not there. So therefore, I haven't physically assaulted them. In gzela, even if I'm in chovel on you, gzela means I mug you. Even if the mugger doesn't actually hit you, I say, hold a gun to your head and say, give me your wallet or else I'll shoot you.
That's less than gzela.
Whatever the case is. So I don't know the gun to your head. I said, I'm going to beat you up if you don't give me your lunch money. That's Gzela. So the Rav wants to make a diuk that only Gzela needs to be Maratzas Chaveiro. Because then, even though I didn't hit you, right, in America we would say, that's not battery, but it is assault. Right? Assault is just when I go like this to you. Right? Russia Lamasaka Riacha. Battery is when I hit you. So that's the Rav's diuk. You can like the Rav's diuk, you cannot like the Rav's diuk. Give me 1 second. Yes.
When we learned Ksubas together, all of us, we learned that the Chamisha Dvarim are Bikur Malkus. The Sofosu, that was the bottom line. That you should be Lokim, but you're not Lokim when you're Mishalem. So they thought that Chogel the Chaviro was Lokim, which means there's a nice Chaviro here.
Okay, for sure. Right, which would also fit in, certainly, this. Okay, good.
I don't understand why the other Rishonim don't agree with you.
Because... It's an interesting question, but maybe someone might have thought that Ganav and Gazlum could also be Chayav Malkus if not for the rule of Nitzik Letash Lumen. Okay, Yesh Lain. Anyway, there's another. This is a very sharp Rav Chaim, which I didn't want to get into, so I put in brackets. Tov Nitzan Hei Beis says the Rambam. The Ravid on this Rambam is very important. We'll come back to it. Says the Rambam, a fascinating psak. If I claim you damaged my land twice, you dug two holes in my land, not useful holes, right? You damaged my land twice, and you admit you damaged my land once. Says the Rambam, Potter. Because we're fighting about Karka. We're arguing about Karka. And therefore, in Karka, there's no chiyuv of Moda B'Mikzas. Okay, that's an accepted rule. The chiddush of the Rambam is I'm not asking you for Karka, I'm asking you for money for damaging my Karka. The chiddush of the Rambam is that Dmei Karka Ki Karka. Right? That. If I claim you damaged Karka, that's considered Karka, and your Patra Moda Mitzas. The Ravid is the Kash on him. The Ravid says, the guy says, Chavalta Bishnayim. And he says, Vak lo Chavalta Biyala Achas. Isn't that Demei Adam? And yet there's a Chiyav Moda Mitzas. How could there be a Chiyav Moda Mitzas? If Demei Karka is Patrik of Karka, then Demei Adam should be Patrik of Adam. So, without getting into a lot of other technical problems here, there are two basic ways to defend the Rambam. How come if I say you damaged my land twice and you admit once you're potter, because it's about land, but if I say you damaged me twice and you admit once you're chayiv, even though it's about people? One answer that I'm going to suggest is because there's no patur of shvu on people, only on avadim. It's not that people and land and shtaros are potter from shvu, only avadim. And land and shares about Shua and says, I'm not an Eved, I'm your Chayiv Shua when you argue about B'nai Chorin. The other is the Rav Chaim's very complex answer. Rav Chaim says no. Rav Chaim says that when I sue you for damaging my land, you're paying to make up and fix the land, even though you're paying money. The money is there to fix the land, so we're really arguing about land. When I claim you damaged me, no amount of money can make me better. No amount of money can make up for a person. Therefore, why am I suing you for money? Just stam, there's a knas of money on you. Ah, if I'm suing you stam for a knas of money, that's called metaltalin, and not karka. Because if I sue you to pay for damaging my land, that's fixing the karka, making up for the karka, that's karka. If I sue you for damaging me, that's a knas. And the knas is like a separate chiyuv. It's not fixing me, it's just a separate chiyuv. Since it's a separate chiyuv, therefore, that's a suing over metaltalin. Okay, I know you can think of technical questions here. This have nothing to do with this Rav Chaim. We're not getting into them now. So here, according to Rav Chaim, the graf nezek karka chashiv ke chiyuv karka aval chavalas adam chashiv ke chiyuv damim. Why? Why if I damage a person am I considered to owe cash? But if I damage a land, I'm considered to owe land? Yeah, because when I pay for land, I'm making up for the land. When you damage a person, you can't make up for it with money. Money can't make up for it. It's just like knas. We should at least teach you a lesson. We shouldn't let you get away with it, but money can't make up for it. Because people are too precious to be made up for by money. That's the sheet of the Rambam. Okay, great. This is the sheet of the Rambam. The Rav pointed out something exceedingly sharp, that based on the Rambam, you could answer up Akasha on Rashi. Except for the fact that there might be an easier answer. Rashi has a big chiddush. What's Rashi's big chiddush? I understand where Rashi was coming from in this big chiddush. Now, Rashi doesn't have to hold like the Rambam. The Rav thought that you could use this Rambam to answer Bakasha and Rashi. Rashi in Daf Tzadi Chesam and Beis is being very frum. What does it say in Daf Tzadi Chesam and Beis? That, is it in Tzadi Chesam and Beis, I hope? Kafir Rav from the Rav Ashi Va'agbe Kikshur Letzalma. Question whether you're chayef for burning someone's shtar, someone's IOU, someone's promissory notes. I have a shtar that Yaakov Moshe owes me $1,000. You burn it. Now I can't get my $1,000. Are you chayef to pay me or not? Assuming Yaakov Moshe is a dishonest guy, now he's not going to pay me. So we paskin yes, Dina Degarmi, and even the Meiser Raphram actually forced Rav Sheshes to pay full price for burning someone's shtar. So now the kasha is the Halakha Rav Sheshes is burning people's property. Ma pitom, Rav Sheshes is a big tzaddik and one of the Amoraim. Why would he burn people's shtaros? So Rashi says, Shesar Shacharim Bial do so. Of course, the Halakha Rav Sheshes wouldn't go around burning people's. He wasn't off the derech teenager vandal. He was the Halakha Rav Sheshes, but you know, not everyone when they were young was like they are now. We know Rish Lakish used to be a bandit. Right? But Makash Bali Chuba owned it. Rav Sheshes now is a Halakha Gadol Batorah. But in his youth, he was a bit of an arse. A bum. He was a bit of, and therefore, he went around burning people's property. It's modern-day Hebrew slang. Arse means a, how do you say arse?
Punk.
A punk, that's it, a punk. Good, a punk. Okay. So, now the kasha is, conclude the Hagos Ashiri based on that. The Mishnah says, remember we learned this Mishnah? Chir shot v'katan, yasin ra'at. If a chir shot v'katan damages you, it's bad news. Why? Because they're potter. Why are they potter? They're not chayim mitzvos. Says, they have no das. Says that goes ashiri based on Rashi, something strange. I don't understand why he could say this. Says that goes ashiri there, miu katan chayim l'shang shiyakil. But when he gets big, he has to pay. Why? Because Rav Sheshes had to pay when he was an adult for what he did when he was a yelid. So that shows, when you grow up, you have to pay. Okay. He makes it sound wonderful, like Shalom Yisrael, hunky-dory. He quotes the Rashi. We see from Rashi that when you grow up, you have to pay. The problem is, that's just not true. Because what does the Mishnah say? Read the whole Mishnah. Chere shot of a katan, pigyasin ra, if they damage, they don't have to pay. However, isha ve'eved, if they damage, they don't have to pay, but later, if they get money, they have to pay, right, if she's divorced or if the Eved is freed. So hold on a second. It's a mukhrach diyuk against the Hagos Ashiri. It's ridiculous. I don't understand. I mean, the Hagos Ashiri meant something, but I don't understand what he meant. The Mishnah says, Kirishot v'kadam don't have to pay. Ishav Eved don't have to pay, but later they do have to pay. The obvious, this is not like a Achorinish diyuk. This is Pashup Shat. A Katan doesn't have to pay ever. Otherwise, he would have been with the Eved v'Isha. As a matter of fact, it's much more likely Chatan will grow up than that the Eved V'Isha will be Neskarshu and Ishtachru, right? So clearly the Chatan never has to pay. So I don't understand this Hagos Ashir. Forget the Hagos Ashir. Kasha and Rashi. Kasha and Rashi, the Diyuk Mukhrach from the Mishnah is that the Chatan never has to pay. But Rashi says in Daf Tzadi Chesam and Beis that Rav Sheshes paid for Yalduso. So how would you answer this, Dira?
I'm saying it's not goes as read, maybe. And Rashi said Yalduso, it could be like 14.
Aha! So this is one way, the simplest way to answer, is that Yalduso doesn't mean what we call a yay, it doesn't mean under bar mitzvah. Yalduso means younger. When Rav Sheshes was younger, he was a punk. It could have been he was 14 when he was a punk.
He was a teenager.
Okay, when he was a teenager, he was a punk. Doesn't say when he was 11, he was a punk. Yalduso doesn't have to mean mamash a yelid as opposed to a bendas. Just means a yelid as opposed to a full adult. That's the simplest answer.
Right?
That goes ashri, I can't defend. I'm going to leave that goes ashri with Sarkia. But one answer is Yalduso means after bar mitzvah. Okay, then there's no problem. Of course, no one ever said that you have to pay for damage you did as a kid. That's ridiculous. That's okay. That is one possibility. Another possibility, although that's going to be a little tricky, is that Rashi only meant Midas Chasidus. Rashi didn't mean he has to pay. Shas Amidas Chasidus to pay for what you did when you were a kid. Why is that Dachuk?
Because it was forced.
Because Lashon was kafye. He forced him. Now you could say he forced him to Amidas Chasidus, right? Okay, that's the mocker of Judaism nowadays. That it's okay to force people to do chumras. So, it's difficult. It's Dachuk in the Lashon of kafye. The Rav had a different answer. Again, not for the Gosa Shiri. I have no answer for that. The Rav says, no, we're talking about two different things. Rav Sheshes has paid for what he did as a kid. That would be Mazik Rechosh. Right? He burned Shtaros. The Mishnah that says, Eved Tchir Shot V'Kat V'Gyosan Ra, that's talking about Chovel. That's in Perek HaChovel. The Rav says there's no Stira. Again, he's not defending Gosa Shiri. Defending Rashi. That Mazik Mamon is Chayav L'Shalem L'Kishe Yagdil. Chovel is Pater Liolam. Why? Because it's inside of the Rambam, even if you don't take it as far as the Rambam. There's a difference between Mazik and Chovel. Mazik is just making up for the damage. So, it's a Chiddush, but you could say that even if I was a Katan, I still have an obligation to make up for the damage that I caused when I grew up. It's a chiddush, but you could say it. Chovel is an onesh. It's because I deserve to lose my eye, and then I pay a kofar, and I can pay money instead. You can't say that someone under bar mitzvah is chayav for an onesh. You can't say they're chayav dinei nefashos. You can't say they're chayav to be maimed, right? An onesh you can't apply to a katan. However, if it's just on a chov, after all, why do I have to pay if my dog rips your shirt? The answer is not necessarily because we did some evil things and it's a punishment for an avera. No, that's just, someone has to pay, so it's fair. So what the Rav is saying is that mazik mamon, this is just a chov, not an onesh for avera. And therefore, it's a chiddush. We know it's a chiddush. We don't paskin like this Rashi. But maybe Rashi meant you have to pay when you get older. Chovel, on the other hand, that's an onesh for an avera. That's not a chov. I actually can't replace your hand. That's an onus for my avera, and that I don't have to pay when I get older.
The Rashi on Dalit is understanding which not the Yesod Rav about being without Nezek. And therefore, the idea of the Katan is even without Nezek.
You don't have to say that, because he was only discussing the Seifa, not the Reisha. But okay. Granted. Okay, fine. You can take this or leave it. I know this is a Kiddush the Rav, especially since this answer is probably the best answer. Just say Yaldusa doesn't mean he was a kid. Just means he was a teenage punk. In the end, he was the Hilger of Sheshis. I don't want to get in trouble here with him.
Why would you say Yalduso?
Fati's going to tell me I don't know how to say Yalduso.
If it's really that he's a teenager, why say Yalduso?
Yalduso? No, Yalduso means not like he was now. Now that he's a grown-up, of course he wouldn't do that. It means that he's a different stage of life.
But
that
also,
yeah. He was young. Okay, fine. Let's see here. Anyway, the...
That's the same thing we said by Isaac Chenonico, because there's no Max A.R.B. right here. So that's...
Right, perhaps. Now, I just want to solve the biggest problem with this Rambam. What's the biggest problem with the Rambam? The biggest problem with the Rambam is that he's against our Gemara. Our Gemara says it's Mamon, and the Rambam says it's Knas. That's pretty bad. Right? Our Gemara says Mamon. So, here's the basic problem. Stira HaRambam Lesugin. The Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Beis says it's Mamon. The Rambam says it's Knas. And the Gemara is actually discussing what's Mamon and what's Knas. That's a pretty big steward of the Rambam. The Rambam's big trouble here. How do you defend the Rambam against the Kasha from our Gemara? I mean, the Rambam's svara is nice, it's philosophically interesting, and he's clearly has a pattern of Shitase, but he's been forced against our Gemara. Our Gemara says explicitly, Rav Oshaya counted 13 things that are Mamon. And the Rambam says, no, 3 of those 13 things are only Knas. How do you defend the Rambam against our Gemara? Anyone?
You want to try mine with the Gemara was the Kohli.
It's a Machlokas HaSugis, maybe. Now, where did the Rambam get it from, by the way? The Rambam does have a mocker, right? The Machlokas HaSugis is, if you're looking at Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Shalach Le'er Chistor of Nachman, in the middle, Hari Amr, L'chuvah Shalosh, L'be'ita Chamesh, L'sin Koresh Shalosh Esrei, L'padna Demar, L'kapina Demar Amai. How much do you have to pay for all the different ways of hitting someone? Sholoshle, Rav Nachman, who is right the Dayan Mufak of his generation, Chista, Chista, Knasa Gamav is Babel. You're charging Knas in Babel? You can't charge anything, because in Babel, where there's no smicha, you can't charge Knas only Mamon, and therefore, you can't charge Knas in Babel. Chaval is a Knas. Okay? So the Ram has a Gemara on his side. Dachav Zayin and Beis says that Chaval is a Knas, and you can't be Gov in Babel.
We've not heard it.
What?
If you see all the hitting, were like,
how much Boshes
was it?
First of all, Rashi says it's talking about Boshes. Yeah, but no, it's not necessarily a problem. The Rambam is Boshes is Knas. He just has a side reason why you're Chayiv in Israel, but you still wouldn't be Chayiv in Bavel. Still Knas. Okay, so the Rambam has a Mokker in Bava Kama, Chav Zayin, and Aleph. What's the reason why no one else agrees with him? As Tosus points out, because in the Gemara, Pei Dalet Amud Beis, of Bava Kama, it says differently. What does the Gemara say in Pei Dalet Amud Beis? That in, anyone know, we learned Sanhedrin, a long time ago by now. In really, you need smicha to judge. Why are Dayanim in Bavel, who didn't have smicha, allowed to judge? Shlichus Sayu Kavlina. In what cases are they allowed to do Shlichus Sayu? Only in cases where there is? Kamen, Shriacht, and Chesron Kis. Therefore, Shevas and Reetboy are Kamen and have Chesron Kis. Tsar and Boshes, the Gemara says, do not have Chesron Kis, he didn't lose any money. And Nezek is not Shriach. Okay, so all the other Rishonim say, why do you not judge them in Bavel? Because it's not Shchiach, or it doesn't have Chesron Kis, right? It doesn't pay Dalam and Beis. And Ah, Dav Chav Zayin and Beis. That was a lot of Dav Kipnasa. He just meant something you don't judge in Bavel. The Rambam apparently thought, took the Gemara Dav Chav Zayin and Beis seriously, and thought it was really a Knas. So if we just ask, why Ein Donim Nezek Tsar Uboshes in Bavel, says the Rambam, because it's Knas, says the other Rishonim, because Ein no Shchiyah or Ein bo Chesron Kis. Okay, we'll come back to that. Now, how do you defend the Rambam from our Gemara? You could say it's Machlokes Nasugyas if you want. Okay, I guess you could also say Machlokes Nasugyas. Okay, can't deny that. Answer one, Machlokes Nasugyas. And the Rambam paskins like Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Seder. Okay. Two, I want to tell you what the Merkavos HaMishnah says.
Did you need the other Rambam first?
This is the Merkavos HaMishnah of Rav Shlomo Michelm. Don't imagine the stories of Chelm. Chelm was a place of Yitalmid HaChachamim. He says the following shot. It's Mefurish and Daf Heyam and Aleph. When it talks about onus umefata, that the, or it's pretty clear,
the other one.
That it says, well, tsar, an onus actually has to be four things. Tsar, boshes, pagam. Pagam is a word for nezek, and knas. It says tsar, boshes, and pagam are covered, and knas is a knas. Seems to imply pretty strongly that tsar, boshes, and nezek, which are the three things discussed with our mamon. It's mefurish and mishnayis and ksubos, that there's a chiyuv modu mimiktas for tsar, boshes, and nezek, and mefurish and the Rambam of onus umefata, that it's mamon. Says the Merkavos HaMishnah, very poshut. There's, our Gemara doesn't need all tsar, nezek, and boshes, only tsar, nezek, and boshes of onus umefata. Technically, the mefata pays pagam and boshes, because there's no tsar, and the onus pays tsar also. Says the Merkavos HaMishnah, he makes an okimta. The okimta is, it doesn't have to be an okimta or Osha only meant those. Just, he also meant those, right? He says, you don't even have to say it's an okimta. He meant all nezek, tsar, reetboy, shevas, and boshes. But why do you call it mamon? Because some of it's mamon. He says, some nezek, tsar, uboshes is mamona. Which case? That is Ones umefate. Why does he make that up? He doesn't make that up. The Rambam says explicitly that if you admit to the ones and mefate, you pay nezek tsar and boshes. There's no reetboy and shevas for ones umefate. Why would that be different? But why would you say all tsar nezek and boshes is kanas and only ones umefate is mamon? Is there a svara for that? We're discussing subas. What's the svara?
Those are fixed amounts. So you don't have
no, to... they're not fixed amounts. The knas is a fixed amount. The pagam and nezek. The pagam and the bos.
That's
50 selah knas besides the unfixed amount of nezek, which is called pagam, tsar and boshes. The answer is very simple. If I chop off your hand, you haven't lost money out of pocket. It's not like you could have sold your hand for something. It's not like you could have found a business deal and charged to chop off your hand and now I took that away from you. It's not a saleable commodity. However, when it comes to onus umefateh, that is a saleable commodity. The Gemara talks all over that. The father could choose money, could charge money, right, for kesef kiddushin to give his daughter over for exactly these things. Right, for the pagam, right, she would lose her basulim. You can sell your basulim for money. Not in a znus way, but the father could say, okay, $5,000 kesef kiddushin for my daughter. He's also selling the tsar, right? This is a whole discussion in the Gemara Ksubas. Is there going to be tsar on the wedding night? Is there not? And he's also selling the boshes. How so? It's not embarrassing to be married. Ah, but if he marries her off, he could charge $5,000 and marry her off to a nice yeshiva bachur. Or he could charge $10,000 and marry her off to a bum. And she'd be embarrassed. That's why the guy's paying $10,000 instead of $5,000, because he needs to sweeten the deal. So basically, these are things which you could charge money for. Not in the realm of Mekach Umemkar, but in the realm of Kesef Kiddushin. And therefore, since these are things that you can sell on the market, not the regular Dini Mamonis market, but the Shidduch market, therefore these are Mamon as opposed to Knas, because this is out-of-pocket saleable commodity.
Is the tsar that they're selling it to Benovo, is certainly not the same tsar as, like, you know, what is the Gemara describes what Aynas is.
No, okay, so that might depend.
Tsar is more similar to Baishas in that case.
Okay, that might depend exactly what the tsar is in the end. Is it the tsar piece of Raglayim, and what does that mean? What I'm going to say is that you're right, you have a question. I think if you're really minding this, so you can answer it, but I'm not going to now. I apologize.
Where do we put, for example, the black market on all this, where you could sell a body part?
I think the answer is that whatever is usher to sell, we don't count. But it's mutter for the father to charge kesef kiddushin. So what's the svara? The svara is pashat. Again, in our modern times, the svara doesn't sit well with us. I understand. This is not the reality that we're used to in shiduchim. But that doesn't change the facts on the ground. The svara is that you could sell this chavala for kesef kiddushin. And therefore, a nezek of chopping off your hand, that's knas. A hand is not something which is worth money. I have to pay money because I should do something. But a hand is not something that's worth money. However, the nezek, what's the nezek problem of losing basulim? That is something that's worth money. It's worth a certain amount of money. You'll pay me $4,000 for a basula and $5,000 for a basula. It is worth money on the market. And therefore, you just have to say, Rav Oshia didn't mean it's always mamon. He just meant it's sometimes mamon. In the case of onus umefateh, it's mamon, because onus umefateh is actually a saleable commodity. Again, not in our modern shidduch reality, socially. But in the old days, this would all be cheshvin. And therefore, there really is a case that's mamon according to the Rambam. That's one shot. So you could say machalos sugis if you want. I don't love machalos sugis. Maybe there comes a mishnah's right. When Rav Oshia said it was mamona, he only meant it's some of its mamona. Which ones? The ones that have to do with ishus, not the ones that have to do with battery. Because when I beat you up, you weren't supposed to be on the market to sell beating up or chopping off parts. When a guy sleeps with a girl, there is a market. There is a shidduch market of paying kesef kiddushin for sleeping with the girl. And therefore, that is considered a monetary out-of-pocket loss of money. The other possibility is, and this, I admit that it probably needs more work to understand it deeper, but the Evan Uzzel says. And again, I'm not just name dropping. I thought these were my two pshatim, and then I found them in the Evan Uzzel. What does the Evan Uzzel say? He says, no, you have to take the Rambam with a little bit of a grain of salt here. Says, when the Rambam says it's a knas, he doesn't mean legamri it's a knas like the other knasos. After all, look at the Gemara. On the one hand, the Gemara Daf Chav Zayin Beis calls it a knas. On the other hand, the Gemara Pei Dalet Beis calls it Ein Bo Chesron Kes. I understand. They say Ein Bo Chesron Kes and Lo Shchiach, but in the end, you could say it's all because of Ein Bo Chesron Kes, if you want. in the Maskana. So the Rambam doesn't mean it's a total knas. It's also not a total mammon. It's really in between mammon and knas. And that would work nicely. Daf Chav Zayin Beis calls it knas. Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis calls it Imbo Ches from Kis and doesn't call it knas. The answer is, yeah, it's not a total knas. Why? It's not a knas like Kefil and Dalet V'Hei. Kefil and Dalet V'Hei, I'm not paying for the damage I did at all. I'm paying double. I'm paying 4 and 5. That has nothing to do with the damage I did at all. It's not a knas like Onus Umefate. Remember, Onus Umefate also pay Sarah and Boshes. They're just paying a knas of 50, or else a shame, paying Stam 100. No. I am paying the damage I did, right? Nezek is the amount that we evaluate your hand to be worth using the best we can. And Tsar is the amount we evaluate your Tsar to be worth using the best we can. And Bosh is the amount we evaluate your Boshes to be worth using the best we can. The best methodology, the best algorithm we can. So on the one hand, it's not really a knas, because I am paying for what I did. On the other hand, it's not really mammon, because I'm not fixing what I did. A normal key of mammon is fixing what I did. If I broke your window and I pay you $100, now you have a new window. I don't care that right now you're holding a $100 bill. A $100 bill is a new window, because you could go to any glass place and buy a new window. Right? If I, you know, cause you a $100 doctor bill and I give you $100, I've totally fixed it. If I smash your car and I pay you however much it costs in the body shop to fix the car, I've totally fixed it. So it's not like mammon, because I haven't fixed what I've done, because you can't fix injuring someone. That can't be fixed with money. That transcends money. But on the other hand, it's not like knas, because I am paying for the damage I did. So it's in between mammon and knas. So maybe you could say, that's what the Ibn Ezel says, no, this is in between mammon and knas. So, legabe the tour of hoda'ah, then we consider it like knas, or not in the tour of hoda'ah. Here he makes a big chiddush. He says, there's no, he goes back to the tzvei dinim of the nesivas. He says, taka the no tour of hoda'ah. If you're modeh, you're not potter forever. We're just not mechayev you till edim come. Then he makes the yukim and the rambam. Right? So, legabe hatsorech le'edim kedei l'chayev, it's k'knas. Meaning, since it's like a knas, you're not just fixing what you did wrong, but you're like paying a penalty. Therefore, we can't be m'chayev without edim. But, and here he makes a chiddush to you in the Rambam, legabe other things, like for example, legabe modeh b'knas v'chagrav bo edim, if you're modeh and then edim came, do you get a p'tur forever for being a good boy and doing tshuva? That far we won't go. Right, then it's considered like mammon, and then he could just say, and that's what's going on. Our sugya legabe sugyin, it's considered like mammon. It has some attributes of mammon and some attributes of knas. Now, you can ask which attributes of mammon, which attributes of knas. He wants to say that's being given the nesivos. If you're moder, you're not potter forever, and that way it's like mammon. But on the one hand, we can't. Use your admission as evidence until Edom come, and that way it's like knas. It's in between mammon and knas. And that makes sense, because you're just paying for what you did, but on the other hand, you're not really replacing what you did. You're not paying more than you damaged, but on the other hand, you're not fixing the situation. Now, it would be interesting to see if you would say something similar about Chatzin Ezek. Other things, we're not going to get into that now. That's the Chav Dei Ibn Ezel. It's really in between. The Rambam didn't mean it was a Knas Gomer. He just meant it was like a Knas in some ways. And therefore, our Gemara considers it like Mammon. Rav Oshia counts it, because it's somewhat like Mammon, but nonetheless, we're not going to chayv you based on your Hodah, because it's somewhat like Knas. Okay, so those are three ways to answer up the Rambam, the famous Kasha on the Rambam, from our sugya. Okay, any other questions? Yes?
That which the Ibn Ezel says that it gets involved in any other base master in Russia because no one business can't believe you that you were mazing the guy. I mean, does that mean the Rambam is not talking about any case where the guy says, like, I heard a Bashar game or something like that, I accidentally bumped into him and heard him? But there he's not in Russia, he's not. It's like barely, I mean, it's like maybe in a bear Bashar game, you're bad.
All right, it's a good. Anyone have it here? Do you have another one? You have here?
Yeah.
He has a Dio. I don't know if the Dio is a total raya. And it's a good question. I might have to, I'll leave it a little bit sort of young. You know what? I'm going to have to leave the Tsarkian for now because the hour is late, but I hear your passion. Okay. Let's just point out one other interesting thing, that according to this Rambam, Chovel is very, very different than Mazik. Meaning, Adam da'azik Adam is very, very different from Adam da'azik Shor. Right? They're two totally different types of Chiyuv and Lagamri. According to others, maybe Adam, like the Ravidor argues on him, maybe Adam da'azik Adam is more similar to Adam da'azik Shor. Do we see a machloket about that? So we do a little. Remember, our Mishnah only counted, well, we have two places where we see a difference of opinion about this. Number one, our Mishnah counted Mave, which according to our Mishnah, according to Rav, right, that Mave is Adam. Our Mishnah counted one Adam to include everything, and Rav Oshia counted different Adams for Adam Dazik Shor and Adam Dazik Adam. Maybe you could say, although I don't think in the end, that's the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid. Our Tana thought, all Adam Shemazik and Chovel is the same thing. Rosh, they're not. Mazik Rechush is one thing and Chovel Bachavir is another thing. The reason why I don't think so is because it's not a local difference between our Mishnah and Roshia. Our Mishnah was Makatzer to 4, and our Roshia was Marchiv to 13. So they just seem to have a methodological Machlokas. Do you try to be try to expand or try to contract? What might be more interesting is the difference between Rav Oshia, according to Rav, and according to Shmuel. According to Rav, Rav Oshia counts Mave Adam Dazik Shor, and Nezik Adam Dazik Nezik. Within Rav Oshia, Rav says there are two Adams, Chovel and Mazik. Shmuel, who says Mave Shein, says there's only one Adam. So even Rav Oshia, who's expansive, Rav and Shmuel differ as to, right? So, let's just put a little box here. Right? Tani Rabbi Oshia, according to the Rav, he counts Chovel and Mazik as two. Right? Because Mave and Nezek. According to Shmuel, he counts them as one. Right? Because Mave is Shein, and Nezek includes anything a person does. And here, the difference between Rav and Shmuel is not whether they like to expand or contract. They're both within Rav Oshia, is 13, who expands things. Even Rav Oshia expands things, according to Rav, he expands things to have two Adams, Adam HaChovel, Bechaver, and Adam HaMazik, Rechush. According to Shmuel, even when he expands, he only has one kind of Adam HaMazik. So it could be that, Stam, who knows why they argue about this, but it could be that maybe they would be thinking of the Rambam and Ravid here, right? Rav would be saying, now, Adam, the Azik Adam, and Adam, the Azik Shor are two totally different things. That's what it means. One is Chayav Daldavar and the other isn't. Everyone knows that. Right? He's saying, no, they're two totally different things. Well, Shmuel would say, no, it's the same thing. It's just paying damages. So, Rav would work better for the Rambam. Shmuel would work better for the Ravid. Obviously, I can't prove it. But I think, again, I wouldn't want to say this is the Machlokas Tana de Mishnah or Moshea. Because they have a Klali Machlokas, whether to break everything down to subcategories or not. But Rav and Shmuel within Rav Oshia, they admit we're bringing down all the subcategories. Nonetheless, Rav makes Chovel and Mazik different, and Shmuel makes them the same. That might mean something. Rav worked better for the Rambam. Shmuel worked better for the Ravid, who works on the Rambam. What? Yeah, it could be they're arguing about Mav and something else, and it's just a side effect. Okay, you never know. Yes? Meaning, back to that phase in the order.
And also, where he explains that, how they can all fit into the Mishnah with Ani or something.
Right, because on Beis, that's interesting. On that Beis and Aleph, everyone's worried about what's the order of the Mishnah, right? All right, ha Shor va'bor va'mave v'ha'hever. Right, so why is it in that order? So what does the Ravid say?
Well, he mentions it. In passing, the Ravid says how Adam is earlier in the Parsha also. And he's talking about not Adam da'azik. Sure, it also says Chovel was earlier.
Do I have the Ravid here? Right, that is a good point. I don't have the Ravid here, but if we didn't cause this in Shir, or assign it even, all the Rishonim are trying to figure out why the order of the Mishnah is how it is. Remember, the response is based on rhyming, but most people say based on the Pesukim. They try to figure out where everything is found in the Pesukim. The Ravid says, yeah, Mava Adam Shehizik is found in the Pesukim, because it is Kiyakish. What's the possible beginning of Mishpatim? Vehika ish chaver ve'evin ovei grof ki, and that's what Hashem vehika ish ve'evin ovei grof. And he says, basically, he finds Adam HaMazik in the Pasuk of Chovel. That's good, the Shitase. The Mishnah is talking about being Masik Rechosh, and yet he says that's found in the Chumash, the Pasuk of Chovel Bachaveira. That's good for the rank, that the Rambam would not have said that. That's a very good Ara. Thank you. I was thinking that, and it totally slipped my mind. Okay, we didn't get to number 4 and 5 on the Makorah sheet. So we'll have to pick up with that. Amir Tzashem, next time, we'll pick up with number 4 and 5 on the Makorah sheet and continue in the Gemara Amir Tzashem. You'll get the board and stop the tape, please, Rokveski.
Did she test the Rambam and the Rit and the motive of Knas Bahargas Boedim if he's popped himself in everything is that you are kind?
Yeah. For many, many moons. Right? Yeah.
Gimel Hassel.
Definitely.